Now let's continue on. If you have the faithful version of the Bible, I want you to turn to page 1366. 1366. That's the Appendix Y. Okay? Now here is a chart which coordinates Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Revelation 17, has a column for the explanation and the events fulfilled in history. Okay? Now, this is similar to what has been published in the past, except they did not understand the 7 is from the 8, rather, is from 7. So we will cover that. So what we see is that part of the understanding is that some of the horns, some of the heads rather, shift to horns, and some of the horns shift to kings. But they are all there. So what I want you to do is, after this sermon, go back and review and see how these things come together. So in the meantime, let's come to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Oh, let's go to Revelation 21 first. I just happen to see this turning back there. Revelation 21 and verse 5. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Then he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now let's compare that with Daniel 2. Daniel 2 and verse 45. Okay? Verse 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, the 10 toes, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And because you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. Now notice this sentence. And the dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. But it left out an awful lot of details. So this is why you need to let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. And that is the key. Because too many people come along and ask questions, well, what does this mean? Rather than searching the scriptures to find out what the scriptures tell us that it means, they end up with guesses and hypotheses and they don't understand. Listen, it's not wrong to say we don't understand. But we have the same thing here. Right, for these words are true and faithful. Just another way of saying certain, and it's going to happen. All right, now chapter 17. Revelation 17. Now we see this fulfilled in a way where it starts out with Babylon. Now we're seeing Babylon the Great, which encompasses the whole world. And the whole world is coming under a one world system. And what did we read in Revelation 17? That God has put it in the hearts of these leaders or kings to fulfill his will. Now we are going to see how this is progressing with today's news, because we are to watch. All right. So let's see what this is telling us. And remember, Book of Revelation gives us a world view. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here and I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters." Now here is how the Bible interprets itself. Verse 15. "Then he said to me, 'The waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages.'" That gives us the interpretation. Now notice, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk by the wine of her fornication." Isn't that interesting? The kings of the earth. That includes all of them. That's the system that is here. You hear, like in America, "Well, we're going to go to Washington, D.C. and change the system." You may modify it a little bit, but you ain't going to change it. "We're going to get rid of Uncle Ben Bernanke." But you're going to get a replacement who was schooled in the same school. Really? You might tinker with it a little bit. "Then he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had seven heads and 10 horns." Where do we get 7 and 10? Daniel, the 7th chapter. Now it comes up again. We'll see it's in Revelation 13 as well. "Full of names of blasphemy. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones and had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And across her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth." All governments must have the backing of religion. So religion directs it. And all religions have come out of Babylon. This is not necessarily just what we understand as the Roman Catholic Church. This does not refer to the Protestants as her daughters alone, because Babylon spawned all of the modern religions. So this refers to all of them. "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." Now, there are two categories here. Jesus even acknowledged two categories. Remember when James and John saw some men casting out demons in Jesus' name? And they said, "Do you want us to forbid them?" He said, "No. Those who are on our part are not against us, but they're not converted." See? Need to understand that. And we also need to understand that what is called Christianity in the world today, more particularly the older version of Protestantism, fits in that category. They are not against Christ, they're on his part. But they're not converted, but they stand by much of the word of God while they keep all the Babylonian mystery religious days. Are some of them martyred? Yes. Are saints martyred? Yes. So there are two categories. See? Blood of the saints, and the saints are the ones who have the Holy Spirit of God. And blood of the martyrs of Jesus. There are those being martyred right today by standing for Jesus. A lot of them in Darfur. Are there martyrs of Jesus who have not been killed by the Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church? Yes. A lot of them live in Muslim lands, don't they? Okay. Where did Islam originate? In Babylon. It's part of the Babylonian mystery system. And we are going to see that is the biggest problem for a world government. So before they move ahead with a world government, they have got to solve that problem. And they even tell us, as I'll read the report, how they're going to solve it. Okay? Let's go forward here. And after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement, because John added his mind, how did this happen? See, John was much in the same situation as Daniel. Here he's giving all of these prophecies, and he didn't understand them. But he was told to write, so it was explained to him. Then the angel said to me, why are you amazed? Were there angels dealing with Daniel and the kings back there? Yes, indeed. Are there angels of God still dealing with it? Yes, they are. I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss. That means straight out of the bowels of Satan, the devil's system, and go into perdition. And those who dwell upon the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, shall be astonished when they see the beast that was but is not and yet is. So the only ones who are going to know are those who have the Spirit of God. There may be people who come close to understanding it, but the ones who should truly understand it are those in the church. Here's the mind that has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Now we know that refers, it can refer to Rome. But I like always to interject this. The city of Seattle is built on 7 hills. Isn't it interesting? Now stop and think about this. What happened at the end of World War II? That system collapsed. You can read that on page 1366, the end of the European system. It all shifted over to America. The system never changed, it just shifted. And how did we get into space? And how did we develop the atomic bomb? And the Russians as well. Whose scientists did we give amnesty to? The Germans. The system was destroyed, which was number 7. But it still lives on. And the elite that are behind the scenes who run the governments, they always push forward for world government. And they know they can do it a step at a time. So they're working on building number 8. So let's read it here. There are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is. That's when this began to be understood. 1 is. The other has not yet come, and when he comes, it is ordained that he remain a little while. And the beast that was and is not, he is also the 8 and is from the 7, and goes into perdition. Same thing, destroyed without hand. Now notice verse 12. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not received a kingdom. How many toes did we find in Daniel 2? 10. In the days of these kings, God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom, but shall receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the beast. These all have 1 mind and shall give up their power and authority to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So it's going to end in the same place that Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 12 ended up. Same place. Okay. We already read verse 15 about multitudes, nations, and languages. But the 10 horns that you saw on the beast shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to do his will and to act with one accord and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. And the woman who you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. Now that can make a tie-in with the Vatican. All right. How many people know that when the Hindus celebrate Diwali that they get greetings from the Pope? I think that's a foretaste of things to come. All right. Now let's see the system here in Revelation 13. And the 10 horns that you see here are the 10 kings of Revelation 17. Now you will see that on that chart, page 1366. And it's very interesting how this is all put together. And we have covered this before, so we'll review certain things, and then I'll bring you up to date on what is happening. There are a lot of things going on at high levels with the super power elite. And they're the ones who are behind the scenes controlling the governments. Now we're seeing it come up just like it says here in verse 1. John writes, "And I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads the name of blasphemy." What do we read in Revelation 17? Names of blasphemy, right? Yes. Same system. "And the beast that I saw was like a leopard." That ties in with Book of Daniel, chapter 7. "His feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." And that's coming. They haven't yet been able to put it together. Why? Because they're not going to be able to do it until it fulfills the word of God. So we have to watch and look and see. "And I saw one of his heads as if it were slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed." Now this can refer to an individual, and it can refer to the Babylonian system. Next time you watch a special on the rise and fall of the Third Reich, you look at all the destruction that wasted Europe. The only thing you can say is, was that a deadly wound? Is it being healed? Now, it can also refer to someone who would have an assassination attempt upon him, but live. So it can have a dual fulfillment. Now notice how widespread this is. "And the whole earth." Now when we're reading these things, what we're going to do is I want you to look at the phrases, "the whole earth," "the world," "all that dwell in the earth," "all nations," "all kingdoms." So we are talking about a whole worldwide system. And they're having a difficult time putting it together, but they're going to do it. "And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him?" Now, how is that going to be accomplished? We're told in Matthew 24, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, right? What is one of the biggest threats that they are worried about right now? Iran. All right? We haven't reached the point that no one is able to wage war. So there's going to have to be something which will facilitate that. You've already heard proposals. Turn all atomic weapons over to the control of the UN. And also, if you have a one-world currency and a one-world banking system, and I'll give you just one clue, the only banking system not in the world system is Iran. Saddam Hussein rejected it. What happened to him? How dare you not sell oil in U.S. dollars? Okay? We have to come to the point that no one will have the ability to make war against him. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. Now, remember, that's 42 months from the deadly wound being healed, as far as the individual is concerned. This ties in with the last verse of Daniel 12 about that in the middle of the week. Okay? And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints and overcome them. And he was given authority over, now notice this, every tribe and language and nation. It's going to be all encompassing. How many attempts have there been to override American law? They already have it, where it overrides many of the laws of other nations. But remember, incrementalism. They will get it there. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears, let him hear. All right. Now let me read some reports to you. Okay. We all know about the United Nations. Let's go back and see some incrementalism in war. What was the First World War? What did they say? The war to end all wars. All right. What did they set up? League of Nations. They couldn't get it through because the U.S. would not approve it. And that's still a hang-up. So lo and behold, we had World War II. And guess what the elite were doing all during World War II? Writing up all the documents for the United Nations. So that at the end of the war, they could set up the United Nations. Now they've done it. I have said in the past that the United Nations has to be reformed and moved to Europe. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. All right? However, right now, there are 193 countries that are in the United Nations. And their mandate was to maintain international peace and security, develop friendly relations among nations, cooperate in solving international problems, and in promoting respect for human rights, and to be a center for harmonizing the actions of nations. Big job. Have been able to do it. They have five things working for them, actually six. The General Assembly, the Security Council, the Economic and Social Council, the Trusteeship Council, and the Secretariat. And those are all based at the headquarters in New York. The sixth one is the International Court of Justice. And they have used that a few times, haven't they? Yes, they have. And what happens when you cede sovereignty to another organization? It rules over you. All right? Let's bring us up to date on world government. Now, there are many difficulties to be overcome. Now, you might want to write this down. Article 109, United Nations Charter, gives authority for the nations to review and reform the United Nations. They've been calling for this, haven't been able to get it done. There are many organizations working for a world government. Now, how many have heard of the World Federalist Movement? Go look it up online. If you're online, you look up all the different organizations working for world peace and world government, and it's going to blow you away. We are this close to doing it. And in my opinion, the only thing holding it back is the need to preach the gospel the way it should be preached, and so therefore the churches of God come into the picture, and how is their standing before God? They say this: we are living in the age of global governance right now. How many have been getting a switch of your credit cards? How many have received a new credit card to replace an old one? Almost all. If you haven't, you will. It's a very interesting credit card. You can also get it for your cell phone. Remember I brought it up before? Wave technology? So we'll come back to the financing and things like that. So here's what they have in this document I have. Stepping Stones to Global Order, 65 Years of World Federalist Victories. Step by step by step. To the idea of a world government, world federalists nowadays basically respond that the world government is already here. When you look at the organizations such as the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, and so forth, what are these? These are instruments of global governance. World government is here, but we just don't have any voice in them. Remember what we read here? Revelation 13, the beast rising out of the sea. Sand and sea equals peoples. Now, there are 100 countries already supporting the review and reform of the United Nations Article 109. Here's what they need. The holy grail of federalist pursuits, the legal pathway to world order. What did it say back here in Revelation 17? Now, let's go back. You have the 10 toes. And in other sermons, I brought out that the 10 toes equal 10 kings. But Revelation 17 tells us something about these kings. Let's read it. Okay. Verse 12. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not received a kingdom. Now, very few people understand the world trade structure today. There are 10 international regions recognized by the United Nations, and those shift from time to time. A country comes in, a country goes out. They have seen, with the European experiment, that regions where you have separate regional money isn't going to work. They thought by now the euro would rule the world. But see, it's not time. They have to bring everything together. The euro is not going to do it. The dollar is not going to do it. And if you listen carefully, let me suggest you do this. The next time that Uncle Ben Bernanke testifies before Congress, listen very carefully. You probably have to go on, what is that channel that carries everything? C-SPAN. And I watched some of the questioning by some of the senators when he was there last time. And does he not have the most disdain and disgust for these senators who he considers as mere idiots and dolts that we help elect? Okay? Because he belongs to the super powerful elite of the world. And he was asked the question, what are you doing to ensure that everything goes well with the banking system? We are having all the banks of the world conform to an international system. Did you get that? You didn't read that in any newspaper. That's what they're doing. Because they've learned a lesson. You can't bring a region together just by bringing a currency. So they're going to bring in a world currency. How soon it happens, I don't know. And it doesn't matter who's running the government. They run it anyway. And they run it so they can make money. And they run it so they can control the politics, control the trade. So we may have a very cheerful election, and Romney and Ryan are elected, and hooray, everything's going to be wonderful and good and just fine. No, the elite are going to be guaranteed they're still going to make money to make up for the losses that they had in Europe. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. All right. They couldn't get the things through that they wanted with their World Federation meeting. However, here's what they say. The UN is nothing but a stopgap or regional grouping or halfway house training grounds for global integration. This is what they're working for. God says it's going to happen. No one in the world is going to change it. God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. Notice this. Because nation states resist the loss of sovereignty in an overall sense, it is imperative that the progress work in manageable stages, poised more as a voluntary concession than a takeover. What does it say about Satan? He deceives the whole world, right? Oh, well, you're not doing this because we're taking over. No, you're doing this because you want to help all the people of the world. You want to do that, don't you? Do you want to end war? Don't you want peace? The world federalist literature, in reading it, it becomes clear, the reporter says to me, that a good portion of this movement completely understands the goal of the process, the dissolution of state sovereignty and the replacement of real politics under a global authority. The 10 kings do what to the beast? Give their power to the beast. I understand that. Now they quote stalwarts. Thomas Hobbes declares, now listen to this. Listen carefully. Law neither makes the sovereign nor limits his authority. It is might, or that is power, that makes the sovereign, and law is merely what he commands. Moreover, since the power that is the strongest, clearly cannot be limited by anything outside itself, it follows that sovereignty must be absolute and illimitable. Let's read Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 4. They all worship the dragon, or all religions of the world, Satan worship, yes, who gave his authority to the beast. What did Satan tell Jesus? if you worship me, I'll give you all the nations of the world, the power and glory of them, right? And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who has the power to make war against him? What did I just read? The power that is the strongest clearly cannot be limited by anything outside itself. So what do? Blasphemes God. All right. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints, to overcome them. And he was given authority, which is power, over every tribe and language and nation. And this is what they're working toward. Okay? It appears plainly that the sovereign power is as great as possibly men can be imagined to make it. This is, of course, what we call totalitarianism, pure and simple. So now you know why they despise the Constitution of the United States of America. We can be used as a stepping stone, just like Israel always has been. Now, here's what they're looking to. I may go over time just a little bit so I can get this in. That's okay. There is a concept that they have, which is, we must unite before we destroy each other. Yet in every meeting where these words were uttered, an antithetical call was also issued, the hope of war. Where are they saying is the next war? What is the threat of war today? Iran. They must have that war, in my opinion, let me ring my bell, in order to bring Islam under the yoke. And the power to do it is also going to fall to Turkey. Remember, as I wrote in my last letter? Did you know that today there are 120,000 Turkish army troops massed on the Syrian border? Oh, yes, we're there to protect those who are fleeing, the refugees. Really? Let's see what they say here. Remember what it was? They cry, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Not that the desire for war was ever expressly stated, but allusions to the need for such a disaster were scattered throughout the meetings. Those at the World Federalist Congress were very aware that other great alliances, such as the League of Nations and the United Nations, were the direct result of a war. And as their imagined global parliamentarian system is a third attempt at world order, it is understandable that they expect and need another globally significant war to produce the kind of government they envision. How's that for all of the lovely leaders of the super elite that are just looking out for the good of the people? Really. They're waiting what they call for a historical tipping point so they can bring it in. Now, this was sent to me by Ron Carey, our webmaster. I'll leave it up here. Okay, here it is. I will give you this website. Okay? Forcingchange.org. Forcingchange.org. All right. Now then, we'll be about another few minutes here, but let's go to Revelation 13 again. Verse 16. And he, that is the beast that had the wound but is alive, and he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. Mark of the beast. What was it about? 8 years ago, I gave a sermon, Mark of the Beast is here, when Digital Angel first came out. And everybody got all excited. Well, the inserted chip migrates, doesn't stay in place. And it also causes cancer. So it was a start. But why did God come down and disperse the nations, Genesis 11? Because now, anything they imagine to do, they can do. This is why no commentary can tell you the true meaning of the mark of the beast that was written 50 years ago. This will only be understood in our day as these things come along. So with the problem of inserting a chip, they had the idea. But you don't know how far they have perfected it. So here it is. Right here. Let me get you the website for this, if I can find it here. I'll read it. Okay, I'll find it. Okay. Stick-on tattoos go electric. Microelectronics. Elegant design and existing tattoo technology combine to create a complex device. Here's a picture of it. Very flexible. Operates by the electricity of your own body. Only problem is it doesn't work for more than a day or two. But don't solve that. What they have done, you know what a microchip is. A microchip is very rigid, and they've been trying to figure out how they can have it so it's flexible. So what they have done, they've broken it up into smaller pieces and strung it together with serpentine-like connectors. Isn't that interesting? This comes from Satan the devil, who is who? That old serpent. All right. Here's the goal. Our goal was to develop an electronic technology that could integrate with the skin in a way that it is mechanically and physiologically invisible to the user. And that corresponds exactly with what the Greek is here. Because to receive in also means on. So it is put on the right hand, or on the forehead, and they are doing this not only to buy and sell, but to control. And they have the technology to do so. Let me just read you another one here. Be careful the next time you see a mosquito. Have you read this one? I'll leave these up here. You can look at them. Is this a mosquito?
Is that real?
I'll read and you'll find out. No. It is an insect spy drone for urban areas already in production, funded by the U.S. government. It can be remotely controlled, is equipped with a camera and microphone. It can land on you, and it may have the potential to take a DNA sample or leave a radio frequency identification tracking nanotechnology on your skin. It can fly through an open window, or it can be attached to your clothing until you take it in your home. Given the propensity to request micro-sized drones for surveillance, one is left with little doubt that police and military may look into these gadgets next. And for all you who automatically say fake because you don't think our government is funding this, do some research. So I'll leave the websites up here for you. See, because it's not the government, it's Satan. And Satan has permission from God to do it, because Satan can't do anything without the permission of God. and they want to control every human being, and especially the Muslims, because they present the greatest threat to a world government. So they must be tamed down. I'm also reading a book by his name is Shubat, an ex-jihadist terrorist who supposedly converted to Christianity, and he wrote a book, Why We Want to Kill You. And some people are afraid that there is going to be a Muslim beast power. No, it's not going to be a Muslim beast power. It's going to be the elite who control the world. So that's what they want to do. We found a solution that involves devices we designated to achieve physical properties that match to the epidermis itself. It's a technology that blurs the distinction between electronics and biology. And I loaned Sue my book, The Biology of Belief, and a quantum physics biologist has come that close to finding God and turned his back. But you see, when it says back there in Genesis 11, now anything they imagine to do, they will do. It's going to be perfected. And all of this wave technology I talked about earlier, it's getting you ready for the mark of the beast. You can even have your cell phone. You can become a banker. You can get a little square, attach it to your cell phone, and you can conduct business between individuals. They swipe their card into your little square. It puts down the charge of what it's going to be. You turn it on its side with a smartphone, and they can take their fingernail and write their name on it, and it becomes a transaction. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to understand where that's going to go. So we're getting closer. We are getting closer. Okay? So they're going to have it. The design enables brittle inorganic semiconductors to achieve extremely vast stretchability, and flexibility. Plus, the serpentine design is very useful for self-adherence to any surface without using glue. This work is really just beginning. So this is why we have to watch the events. These events are taking place. These things are going on behind the scenes. And we can't get so involved in the difficulties and problems of our own personal lives that we do not keep the goal in mind that God has for us and what's going to happen in the world. Now, how far down the road? I don't know. How quickly will it come? I don't know, but it will reach a tipping point, and then the transition will be made. Will it be the war in Iran? I don't know. But that sounds the most likely. And that would go to the very heart and core of all of the terrorist and jihadist activity in the world. I don't know if it's going to happen. Don't know when it's going to happen. But these things are all pointers toward the way. So, sorry to keep you over time a little bit, but that's okay. It's the Sabbath, and we're going to have some food here in just a little bit. So, Byron, if you could come and lead us in the closing hymn. And when we're done with the hymn, I want everyone to sit back down again because we have a little something special. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.